I'd like for us to look in the book of Luke this morning and desire your prayers. The Lord would help us. I'd like to talk about the value of a soul this morning. It's nothing new, but I believe it's why we have these camp meetings is because we are concerned about the people that are lost and people that are saved even to get help to their souls. So as we start off the camp meeting season, I pray that this little thought would be with us and we would each one remember what we're here for. And the whatever we have to give or whatever we have to do to see people make it into heaven, it'll be well worth it. And the value of a soul. I wouldn't be here today if someone hadn't had a burden, and you would neither, really, for our souls. And I hope we never forget as a church that this is why we do what we do and why we're here today. And I pray the Lord will help us and refresh our memory that we don't get stuck in a rut, that we don't get complacent, lazy, or just take for granted the things that we have and the things that the reason we're here today. The book of Luke, the 15th chapter, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And he said, a certain man had 2 sons. And the younger of them said to his father, father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. I'm going to stop there. And look at what we've read so far. We've read about 3 things. We've read about sheep. We read about lost coins. And now we're reading about the prodigal son. 3 different situations. 3 different things. 3 different people or 3 different circumstances that people were lost. There was something missing. Someone had gone astray. Do you know that in all of these 3 things, it makes me come with a question, what made all of them? Where did they go? How did they end up where they end up? And I think for the church this morning, it's important that we ask the question about responsibility. Who is responsible? We would all like to think that it's not me. That's the general feeling. I don't want to just say I'm the reason for all this happening, but I know that that's really not accurate. I think all of us have a responsible place. And when we are born into the kingdom of God, we have responsibility. Every one of us has responsibility. I have heard, and I believe this, if you tell people their rights, you will start a riot. But if you tell people their responsibilities, you'll have a revival. And what we need this morning is not to hear our rights, but our responsibilities. We want to know about our responsibilities. Where are we responsible for what is happening and going on? And Lord, help me. Some messages are not easy to preach because it gets down to home. It gets right down to where I'm living. It gets in my pocket. It gets down in my heart, and I feel troubled about it. Let's look at the prodigal son. He left on his own, didn't he? He left on his own. And no one really went looking for him. And I've heard sometimes say, well, these people don't come anymore. These people don't come. And you know the heart of a pastor, there's sometimes you want to go after them. And sometimes we do. We go look for them and find what's going on. But did you know that the dad, the father, we don't find in the word that he went out really searching for him, because this young man had in his mind, I'm going, and there's nothing you can do can stop me. And there's sometimes we sense that with people that leave. We sense that. And it's not for us to feel good about in our conscience. Well, you know, I have no responsibility because they just left on their own. I'm not responsible here. But let's be careful, because if we look, the attitude of that father was, and I can tell you, if one of my boys, one of my children, my daughter, somebody went astray, and I knew you was living not far from them, and I saw you frequently, I'd say, have you seen my boys lately? Yeah, I did. Where'd you see them at? What was they doing? How are they making it? Well, they wasn't too good a company when I saw them. You know what? The father's heart ached because his son had left him. And the heart of the true mother, the church of God, aches when people leave. Because we feel responsible. Was it something that I did? Did I say something? Was my behavior? What happened here that they left? Was it something that I did? You know, that tells me the love that we have for souls is something that motivates us. It's something that causes us to lose sleep sometimes at night, and we wonder, to turn over our bed, did I say something? What happened here? Why did they go? Was it because I neglected something? Did I not do something right? Well, I think for the people of God, it's good that we recognize there are some cases that you can't help. I can't help. Look here, what's in my hands? I don't have anything. I'm not able to turn people around. They want to do something, they do it. I can't stop you. If you want to go, you want to leave and you want to take all, I can't stop you. Who do you think I am? Do you think that sometimes people get angry at the church? Well, there was nobody that said anything to me. There's nobody. They just walked off. Well, it hurts, but our own personal experience of our own personal desires. Did we have the right attitude toward these people that left? Are we glad they left? That's a part of our responsibility. Having a I told you so attitude really won't bring people back. And the Lord wants to help us with those prodigals. We have to face it. There's some folks, they go away, and I've watched over 40 years, and my heart has ached, and I've seen them go out the door, and they left. And I wondered, what could I have done? What could I have done? I don't know if you feel that way, but there's something that strikes a chord in my heart when people leave. Why are they gone? Was it me? Now, we can't get under a guilt feeling and feel like we're responsible for everybody. I know there's a proper, there has to be some way that we cope with these things, but it does happen, doesn't it?
Yes.
Lord, help us to still have the right attitude. Amen. Not an I told you so type attitude, but a longing. That father was looking. He saw his son coming. I believe the Bible said a long ways off.
Amen.
How in the world would he know him? I met up with an old buddy of mine that I hadn't seen for many years. I went to school with him. In fact, we got arrested together. And I said, Dennis, how are you doing? And he said, I could tell it was you by the way you walked. And you know, the father knew that young man. He knew his son. Look at that's him kicking up dust. I can tell by the way he's walking. It tells me that he had a heart for his own son.
Yes.
The Bible said in the last days there'll be perilous times, that men will be lovers of pleasure, they'll be lovers of their own selves.
Amen.
And they will be thinking only about themselves. It's me, my, or mine. It's just about me. There's very little concern about others. Folks, I want to be careful, because the value of a soul, it means a lot. When someone comes around, I'm telling you, there's little children sometimes that come in, and I've seen those little fellas need somebody to tease them. They need somebody to show them some love. They're lacking something. May the church of God be that people that sees the needs of everyone. I thank the Lord for this congregation. I thank the Lord for you and all of you that are here today, because I know I have, over a period of time, I've seen the love that you have. And I pray the Lord will keep that love flowing. And he'll keep us all headed the right direction. And we'll never really lose the value of one soul. We find another, the lost sheep. Isn't it amazing? I believe in Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, it says, all like we, like sheep, have gone astray. I've seen people that come around and they are looking for the green grass. And I'll tell you, they'll cross fences, they'll cross roads, and they'll go places. I think, what in the world are they doing? They'll eat on this side of the fence, and then they'll come back and turn, go around the fence and come back and eat on this side. And I think, what? They don't even know what. They're lost sheep. You know what? They still need attention, don't they? The lost sheep. And we need to cultivate an atmosphere where there's spiritual food that comes from us. If we come to church always with this empty feeling and with this, I need filled up, I need to get full, I need, and we don't have something.
Right.
Who was it? Someone this morning said, I was reading this morning. Maybe it was Phillips. I was reading this morning, and there was something that just blessed me.
Yeah.
Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. When we can come to service and have some, instead of being such a poor me, poor needy me, we have actually something to give. What do you think you'd do, the pastor, if he got it? And somebody got up and said, I'll tell you, folks, praise the Lord. The Lord gave me some this morning. It just so, the pastor feel, well, I can point myself to, not, I'm sorry, Philip, but you just rejoice.
Amen.
You rejoice. Oh, I'm glad they finally got some. I'm glad. Oh, this is wonderful. They got a hold of something.
Right.
Something is ringing and your heart rejoices. Wouldn't it be wonderful if all of us could come in?
Amen.
And we would have a little something to say and to contribute. You know, when we set the tone for the spiritual atmosphere in our congregations, I believe that those lost sheep, I believe that they'll start getting a sense of direction. When I had pigeons and I would train them to fly. I didn't teach them to fly, but I would work with them to come home. Well, how do you motivate a bird?
Well, you have to have good food for them, don't you?
Yeah.
If you have some, you have some peas and some Milo and corn, and you throw in a few little extra things that they like to eat, different kinds of little peas and things, those birds will love your place. If you give them a little thin tray where and fill it with water and put it out for them, they'll take baths. Oh, they'll splash around. They'll have a good time. If you have a little clean place, you keep it. You don't let it be dry. They'll love to be home. And you take the old birds. Sometimes you have birds that maybe 2 or 3 or 4 years old, and they've flown maybe 200 or 300 or 400 miles, and you put a young bird with them, and you take them off on, when you see them flying around the loft, and they're, you know that they're stretching out and they're going maybe several miles away, and you can take them and package them up, put them in a little crate, and take them off 5 miles and watch how fast they come home. Put an old bird with them. I'm going to tell you, those birds will start flying. They'll go 5 miles, 10, 20, 30, 50. I have one of them over 600 miles. And that's not uncommon. They can fly 600 miles, believe it or not, in one day. Those pigeons are amazing. If we can set the spiritual taste,
yes,
in our congregations, amen, these lost sheep will want to be home.
Yes.
They'll want to be there. It's spiritual food for them.
Yes.
But if we come in dry and dead,
yes,
and we're always, I'm always just a dry, bone dry. I'm just bone dry. I don't have nothing. I'm bone dry. You know what? Pretty soon they get to thinking, maybe there's something better somewhere else. And they wander away. The lost sheep. How do we find the lost sheep? Sometimes they just wandered away. I have heard that if you break a sheep's leg, and the shepherd may have to do that sometimes, that sheep and the shepherd make a bond. So, pastors, get your clubs and we'll break the sheep's leg. They ain't going nowhere. I'll make sure of that. No, they're going to be all broken up and they'll stay home. No, it's more than that. We've got, the Lord has to, but a shepherd, getting back on that point, he makes a closeness with the sheep because they're apt to wander. Sheep are just that way. Do some of the silliest things you've ever seen. I mean, some things you go, the phone, and hey, brother, I'm over here. What was you doing over there? What, isn't it good enough? No, I got over here and I got all beat up. Why don't you stay home? Well, I'm a sheep. What do you expect? That's just, I tell you, there's a bond, and God help us today to bond. There's a lot of people that are hard to bond with. There's just a lot of, and I don't know why, all together, but I know we have different personalities. We have different, sometimes it's hard, and I would say the Church of God is made up of all kinds of different people. Now, if we would try to monitor everyone that comes in and say, well, you really don't fit here. You don't have this quality. And we get so exclusive that we begin to eliminate those that had potential because they had different quirks about them. You know, the quirk, it's that, where is it? It's that little gap, that little, we all have. You see how that is even down through there. It's a quirk, though. But it's there for a purpose. It has meaning, that quirk. If it was this high here and about this high, it'd probably be built by me. But I can tell this is a master craftsman that done this. But we all have little quirks. We all have little things about us as sheep. There's different things about us. We don't want to push off those that have such oddities that are maybe a little embarrassing. You know, God wants us to work with each other.
Yes.
the value of a soul. It'll cause us to do things. I've watched these women in Jeff City. It come to me as we were there years ago, watching the people that was coming up, and these mothers were parking their cars way in a parking lot, walking on an old sidewalk that was all cracked and uneven, and they were making their way into the prison because their boy was in there. Let me tell you this morning, the people that come among us many times are loaded with troubles. They have lots of problems. I believe the church today, if we can see the value of a soul, it'll help us to bear and forbear with each other. There's going to be people you find in the world. They're going to come in, and what they're wanting, they're lost sheep. They don't know which way is up sometimes. They don't know what they're doing, and we have to be patient with them, don't we? It's a necessary thing because we're dealing with sheep. They're apt to wander. They're apt to do things that it could be embarrassing sometimes. We think, oh, where are they from? Oh, they're from Sapulpa. Oh, yeah. Well, where are they from? Oh, they're from the, over here, over there. But listen, sheep are valuable to us this morning. Amen. We need to have a burden and see the value of a soul. The value of a soul. What's it worth? Is it embarrassing to deal with? Yes, sometimes it is. Embarrassing, but do you know what? That real love, I think about my mom and what she went through with me. Was it embarrassing for her? I'm sure it was. Did I give her gray? I'm sure she got gray hairs because of me. But I always knew my mom loved me. I always knew that. I had no doubt about it. And if people can see, if they can see that we love them, amen, I'll tell you, it will help us to go the extra mile for the lost sheep. And God help us today. There is such a need today. And lost sheep are just not always found around our church doors and our perimeter. Lost sheep, I've seen them long ways out there, and they will never darken our doors. They will never, they'll never congregate with us. They're not there. But it's, I believe our heart is to reach out to the lost. And I thank God for every one of you. I know there's lots of efforts that are put forth for those that are lost. I know that. But I want us this morning just refresh our minds, and we're really here for the benefit of souls. Amen. We're really here, whether it is the prodigal sons, whether it is the lost sheep, or the lost coins. Amen. The lost coins. Let's, going back to the sheep for a moment, I think about Sister Faith Stewart and what she said one time about the vision she had after she had to leave India. And she had a vision of those little brown faces and those arms reaching up to her. She had that vision. And you know, that caused her to go down out to the highways and hedges. The highways and hedges. And there's a lot of folks out there. And they come around us. They're around us all the time. I pray, Lord, help me to be aware when you're close by. I want to see you through some of these people that have been neglected, or they're out there. The highways and hedges. Let's not forget about the highways and hedges. That's a road that is less frequented by God's people today. But I pray the Lord will help us. The highways and hedges are not a frequently traveled road, but I do appreciate when I see the marks, the way marks of people that it's been to the highways and the hedges. I see their books. I see their ministry. I see their lives. And it means so much to me today. And how little effort it took for Brother David Madden and Brother Charlie Smith and Brother Ori Young to walk across, not even a block, just across the street from the a church there in Tulsa,
and walk over there and pray for a man and for that man to say, there's a woman that's sick in the basement. She's really sick. That was my mom.
Thank the Lord.
And I think about these places. It's a little bit difficult sometimes to go into. But there's some sheep out there. I was visiting with a couple of Mexican men in the jail a few weeks ago, and my memory, I can't remember all people, their names and things, but I got to visiting with them, and these men said, you know, you remember him, he died. And I said, no, not, and they showed me a picture, and I said, yeah, what happened? Well, he came here in the jail, and he was our friend, and we began to visit with each other, and we talked with each other for a while, and he said, you know, I thank God that I'm here, because I'm just not ready to meet the Lord. And that man began to pray here in jail, and his friend told me how that he said, man, I'm just not ready to get out. I just can't go yet. I can't get out. It's just not working out. I'm not ready. And he was in there a few more weeks. And then one day, that man said he laid his head right here and he died. He died right here on my shoulder. And I tell you, that touched me. Imagine going to jail to get ready to go to heaven. Isn't that something? Well, some of these folks are out there. And Lord, help us to be there. Lord, help us to have a little mark that we said, I've been there, and it's because we have a value for the lost. The lost coins, what did it say here? Going back into the 8th verse of this 15th chapter, what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she have lost one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I found the piece which I had lost. Do you know, the lost coins, again, I believe we have to set aside. In the church, there has to be a spiritual tone that is set that people desire to be here. Without the proper spiritual reviving of ourselves, he said, if judgment, first of all, it has to begin in the house of God. If judgment begins in the house of God, I believe the rejoicing and the praise should begin there also. I believe that the testimony should begin at the house of God. If it doesn't begin there, where will it begin? And when the atmosphere and when the judgment and when the mercy is balanced and they meet together, there's an atmosphere of rejoicing. There's an atmosphere of praise, and it is very conducive for those that are lost. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, will draw all men to me. Folks, I believe this morning that is the rallying point for all people of God. And if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. That's the rallying point. It's not anything less. It's not in our own man-made, put together programs. It is that one very essential ingredient that keeps us all coming together. And when we have that, you see what she done? What did she do first? She turned on a light. She, it said here, doth not light a candle. This is the starting place. Light the candle. When the candle is lit and the fire is burning, there's light. And if I be lifted up, that's where it starts. And when that element is present, there is searching, there's looking, there's examination. when the light is gone out, how awful. In the book of Revelation, he said there's not going to be the sound of grinding anymore. The candle is gone out, no more sound of grinding, and everything is at a dead still stop. Whenever the light ceases to be, there is no more grinding. That means there's no more separating between the spiritual, the sin life, and the life of the flesh. There's no more grinding. The grinding ceases. When no light is, no grinding. And when there's no grinding, there's no separating. Here's the chaff, here's the wheat. Everything comes to a standstill. But this woman had the idea, and she gives us today an example of what we need to do also. Light the light. Get the fire burning.
Amen.
When the fire is burning, things begin to happen. We can't light dead wood. We can't. It's hard to get things started. We have got to be spiritual lights ourselves. We have to have something in our souls burning, something that is fueling this, and it's keeping us going. If this ever goes out, we don't have anything. There'll be no grinding. There'll be no light to reveal things to us. It'll all be gone. We ride on so many years in the coattails of truth, but it has to come down to us personally. We just can't go on and keep a set of rules. We have to have something in our own souls that ignites within us and keeps us going. When we tell it to the next generation, there has to be something there. It's more than passing down of rules. It's more than that. We have to light the light. Each of us has to be illuminated. Each of us has to have something in our souls that is connecting to our Heavenly Father. We've got to have that, folks. It's necessary. Nothing will be recovered unless that light is burning. May the Lord bless us today. She began to find things when the light was lit. What'd she do then? She got a broom. She got a broom. She got down on her hands and knees. And she began to search. I believe the Bible said she sought diligently. And she began to look where everything was at and where it wasn't at. When we began to sweep, and when we begin, the light comes and reveals things to us. It causes us to see, ooh, this place is dirty. Oh, I'll never find anything with this dimly lit place. It's too dark. We need the light of the Lord. We need His illumination in our life to be able to keep going. I want to be able to have more than just something that I said that goes to the next generation. I think it has to be experiences, our personal experiences with the Lord. And all of us need rekindle. There's a rekindling and a reburning. We need that to help us to get rid of the chaff, to get rid of the garbage, to get rid of the baggage and things we get accumulated in our life. We just need it so much. We need refreshing. 'Twas sung by the poets, foreseen in the spirit. A time of refreshing is near, when creeds and divisions would fall to demerit, and saints in sweet union appear. The times of refreshing, folks, is what we need. Our spiritual lives, we need that desperately, to be able to be refreshed, to have something new, something coming in. Not like the Dead Sea where everything rolls in and nothing goes out. No, the people of God are just transporters. We're just little purveyors. We get some truth, we share it, and go on. To just be one that spirit just takes in things all the time and never gives nothing out, we become spiritually obese. We don't want to be that. We want to. We hear it, we take it in, and we share it and pass it on to the next one. My wife said, "Do you mind if I take some of your notes to jail with me?" I said, "Sweetheart, anything you want to share. It's not mine anyway. It's the Lord's." And he wants us to be able to share things. He wants us to be able to give to this generation something new. She swept the house. She lit the candle. She swept the house. And what else did it say? She sought diligently. And those three things we need today. We need that. We need the true light. And I mentioned a while ago, by this shall all men know that you're my disciple. And I, if I be lifted up. He said, that's our rallying point. That's the place where we rally. It's not in, you know, you can get a lot of amens by talking about little pet things people get on sometimes. You can get a lot of, you know, I've watched people, was at Monarch years ago, and this one brother started preaching about some things and people I never heard hardly say amen. Oh, praise the Lord. They was all over the place. You know, all these good messages, and you sit over there quiet, and when they start talking about Bobby Socks or something, say, woo! Hold it. Hold it for a moment. If I be lifted up, I'll draw them into me, and people notice that. I'm not saying there's some things need to be taught against, and there's wickedness and things that's underlying in principle. I know that. Let us be careful that we don't lose that underpinning. If I be lifted up, I'll draw men to me. Not James Bell, but to Christ. You know, when we begin as the people of God to right our wrongs, when you see the light, you begin to right the wrongs. You begin to, oh, that's me. That hit me. Brother Hargrave, one time, was at Springfield, Missouri. He and Brother Kimball came to host a meeting. And he got up one night, and I tell you, he was like had a whole box of hand grenades. He'd pull the pin on one, back in the corner, boom! And I thought, oh, Lord, they'll never survive. He lit another one, pull the pin on number two, boom! Oh, directly he pulled the pin. The one in my lap. And I said, well, looks like all of us are going to be blown away here. I don't know any of us going to be able to stand. But you know what? I found the Word of God. The Word of God is profitable.
Yes.
For doctrine, for reproof, for correction and righteousness' sake. He said that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And sometimes there's things that hit us a little hard and we get shocked and we think, oh, how awful. I don't want to hear them preach anymore. But God has a way. When the Spirit of the Lord is working in it, that's the difference.
Yes.
Two people can say the same thing. One person, it's not, all they're doing is repeating something.
Right.
And there's nothing spiritual in it. The next person, it's knowing the shepherd, folks. It's knowing the shepherd. It's not by us coming up with a set of rules and regulations and all these things. And yeah, Lord, they're really holding to the truth. It's void of the Spirit of God. We don't have anything. Be careful. Righting the wrongs is so important to us. Getting things out and eliminate the neglect. And seek diligently. There's a few things that'll help us in our spiritual life. There's a few things I believe in the interest of souls that if we practice and if we work at, I believe we can be more productive. More productive. I want that personally. Lord, help me to be more productive. If there's some of my attitudes or some of me that is tainting the gospel, I would ask the Lord, please help me get rid of that. Your gospel is more important than my own little feelings. If I get, I'm just carrying my feelings all the time on my shoulder, help James Bell. Lord, help me. We need, you know, there's so much that comes to my mind here this morning, but I think about able also to admonish one another. Did you ever hear about that scripture in the Bible? It's there. Abel also did admonish one another. Do you know on the part of the admonisher, there has to be the spirit of grace. Without that, if you come in a harsh, condemning way, and you don't have the spirit of the Lord, and you just want to set people straight, yeah, I'm going to tell you what, I got something, I got a bone to pick with you, Mr. Bell. All right, start picking. I don't like your mustache. I had one person call me, I don't like your mustache. I said, all right. I don't think your wife needs to be leading singing. Okay. And I don't think you need to be here. You need to move to Mexico. All right. And I said, now, I will listen to you as long as you... I don't mind if you want to reprove me. I don't mind that. But if you start yelling at me and screaming at me, I'm going to hang up the phone. And so when they saw they just went down the list and had a... I didn't write them all down. They had a long list, and then the intensity of their voice got to that high pitch. And I said, I'm holding the phone, wait. And I said, I told you I was going to do that. And I don't know how long they talked after. You know, some people get so interested in themselves, you can almost put the phone down and go over and start cleaning and sweeping whatever you're doing and pick it up. And here they go. They're still going. Phone rang again. I think, hello. I said, remember our rule before we started. If you yell at me now, I'm going to hang up the... So you don't need to yell. If you don't like my mustache, you want me to move to Mexico, don't want my wife to leave. Okay. And they went on. And finally, the pitch got so high, I said, oh, remember what I said? Quick. You're going to find people like... I tell you, I would rather handle it that way and said, you what? You don't like my mustache? Well, I tell you what, where do you find that in the Bible? What? I could have went on and argued and then stooped down on their level. Right. Folks, listen. Yes. Don't stoop down on other people's level. Right. Lord, help us today. Amen. You want to argue your point and things, and all it's doing, the Bible said, grievous words do what? They stir up anger. Find someone that's getting off and they're doing all, you know what? The best thing, just maintain a quiet, ask the Lord, Lord, help me be quiet. Isn't that hard to do? You know what you want to do? You want to rise up and you want to defend yourself and you want to get in there and grovel with them? Don't do it. I think whenever we see a value of soul, do you know what happened years later? A few years later, they called me up and said, I want to apologize for what I said to you. You know what? I said, you know what? I want to put myself right in there too. If I hurt you, and I'm going to ask you to forgive me. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that. Folks, let us be careful. When we talk about righting wrongs, it's something that gets real close to us. Because as the Bible said, every man is right in what? Our own eyes. Every one of us gets saying, well, listen here. Here's the reason I done that. Here's why. And the very idea you say anything about me anyway. Kind of like my mustache. We can have those attitudes, but what are we doing when we see the value of a soul? We're not doing this for something temporary. This is for eternity.
That's right. That's right.
It's eternity that I'm talking about. This eternity we're dealing with. This is not, it's something that goes a long ways. God help us. She searched diligently. Are we responsible for anything?
Yes.
We responsible?
Yes.
Well, yeah, we are, for probably more than we recognize. And Lord, help us today, every one of us. We're eternity-bound souls. And there's a lot of people that's looking to us for help. This woman, you know, we could ask the question, who built this crazy house anyway? Why would there be cracks in the floor? What did it say here? She swept the house. I don't know. Where was the coins gone? Where did they end up? What happened to it? Well, somehow they dropped down the cracks.
That's right.
It got lost. Now, that's something we need to ask ourselves. Is there carelessness? Sometimes there is. There's carelessness that happens. We can all be careless. You know, if you'd have handled those right, they wouldn't have got lost. We can begin to blame each other. We can, and we just look, we want to ask the Lord today, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me.
Amen.
Help me to be responsible.
Yes.
When people do get dropped down the cracks, I know there's things because of unloving treatment. That happens sometimes, doesn't it? And you can be a person that has a lot of self-pity and I don't want to just blame it on, but there's people that have, let's just say there's some of us that have self-pity. And we tend to nurture that. And that self-pity type spirit will cause us to wonder why they didn't call me. I wonder why someone didn't check on me. I wonder. I think we have to stop and think, if someone hasn't called me, listen to me, maybe I should call someone.
That's
the counter effect. Oh, wait a minute. If the church is not calling me, maybe, Lord, let me look at myself. Have I been calling others? Nobody's invited me to come home with them for lunch. Nobody's invited me. Nobody, they stop. They don't do that. I mean, for the most part, we're kind of lacking on that area. Could I say that? You're going, ouch. I don't want people coming over my house. I don't want people. Well, here's what we need to be thinking about. Instead of getting hurt and offended because nobody invited me over their house, let's open up our house.
Amen.
What's wrong with that?
Amen.
They just all ignore. Open up your own.
Right.
And you reverse that situation by doing something yourself. Nobody's calling me. I'm going to call somebody. Nobody's inviting me home for dinner. I'm going to invite somebody home for dinner. I'm going to get them over to my house. You see, because our attitude is so important today, and we're always looking at just me. It's all just, my whole world, it revolves around me. And God wants to help us. In the church, politics doesn't go very far with the Lord. I mean, sometimes we want to just invite those, or we want to just do things for special people because I scratchy their backy, they scratchy my backy. I do a few good things, and then I know I'm going to get something back. Jesus said, don't do that. Don't do that. You give to those that have no means of giving back to yourself. You do something for someone else, and you don't expect nothing in return. You have that kind of attitude. And that works. That works. Politics can play a big part. Here's what the bottom line is. We have three kinds of people. We have the sheep, the coins, the prodigals. We have that same thing today. Lord, help us to be responsible people. Realizing that part of this is me. Part of the problem could be me. And I'm going to do my part. I'm going to do my part. Luke 17 and 2 talks about offenses. The offenses will come. But he said, woe to them that give the offenses. If we're living a life that is offensive to other people, let's stop and examine ourselves. Didn't he say to do that in Corinthians? Examine yourselves. Examine yourselves. Look at yourselves. If we will do that, and we will examine ourselves, not with our own, the rationale of our own mind, that's not really good. We have to take the Word of God and examine ourselves.
Amen.
And look at ourselves. And he said, because if the Lord comes by and does it, you're going to be in big trouble. And I am. We're going to be reproved. Sometimes more than we want. But if we will examine ourselves, oh Lord, I've caught myself here on this little part here. I've realized that I tend to socialize with my own friends. I'm kind of timid anyway, and I just kind of tend whenever I go by some stranger. Look at them. You're just kind of weird. You know, I wonder if the Lord doesn't purposely get close to us sometimes and just see how. Would you treat me that way? If you knew who I was, would you really treat me that way? Would you walk right on by me and never? We get so focused. That's what I think that the spirit of our age is. It's just about me. Okay. You see somebody broken down the side of the road. Your sister sees somebody, and it's not wise for you to stop. And here's some man out there who's got a flat tire. But there's one thing I think all of us can do. We can throw a prayer their way. Lord, would you please help them? If they don't have a jack, Lord, help somebody to provide for them a jack and help somebody to take care. Can we at least do that? Well, to be visible at least, and we see somebody in need. Have you ever asked the Lord to help you to read the faces of people? Lord, help me to look beyond this smiley face and this all this glamour and everything, and help me to look down. Lord, help me to see the needs of these people's soul. The value of a soul, it'll do things for us, won't it? It'll cause us to be stirred about our condition. Some we'll see ourselves as never before sometimes. Lord, help me to see the needs of humanity going on around us. It's mind-boggling, folks, when we see the generation of people we live in. There's a lot of troubled people out there. Lots of troubled homes. Lots of things going on. Eliminating the neglect in our life. Seeing that we have a great responsibility to people. Help us, Lord, to be at least people that we can pray for them. We can do a little something. Maybe I can't stop and help them, but maybe I can. At least be willing. You know, you might think, well, I just have so little. It's not what you give, it's what you have left behind. You know, Jesus said to the woman that put in the two mites, she gave her all. Had some rich man come by and gave 20 times that amount, he would have still said to that woman, she gave her all. That's why she's mentioned in the Bible. It wasn't what you had left behind. Oh, we want to sound an alarm. Oh, I gave this much money. I gave this. Well, you had so much left behind. It's like, what do you want to be recognized for? Lord, help us. Preacher sins, unloving treatment, lack of common sense. You hear me? Lack of common sense. There's some things that just need to be kept to ourselves. There's sometimes in your prayer you might have something you really want to get that out. You want to let people know that you're troubled, and you say all this in your prayer. You say, well, I'm just praying to the Lord right in the middle of the congregation. You was telling all these things going on and how you was against this and what they've been just hold it, wait a minute. Common sense will tell us there's things that you don't do in public. You might do that in private and get in your closet. And he said, close the door. You get in there and tell, you say everything and just complain to the Lord, but not in public, please. There's some things you just don't do in public. You know what? What am I talking about? It's the value of a soul. There's people listening to that. There's people that have no idea what you're talking about, and they hear something bubbling up from you. It shouldn't be that way. Stop. There's things that just need to be kept private. Don't bring that in the public. Because there are souls that can be damaged by that. Lack of common sense. Lord, help us today. We need that. Common sense. It's something that the Lord knows we need more of. God, help us today. We are people that are responsible. We are responsible for what we say. We're responsible for other people around us. Let's make an atmosphere where people want to be around us. Create that atmosphere. And common sense will help us to watch our time. Be careful with your time. You know, I'm not going to go into this very much, but we can have a ramble-money instead of a testimony. You know that? People get up and they start here. And I'm thinking, they get done and think, what'd they say? I must have missed it. My hearing is going bad, but they just ramble on and on and on and on. And I call them the Ramblemonians. And I'm sorry, maybe I'm not accurate in that, but they just go from one thing, the next thing, and pretty soon you don't even know what they talked about. Where'd that come? Common sense will help us, folks. I want to set a spiritual atmosphere. When people come among us, they get good to their souls. Right. We were edified. We were lifted up. We were encouraged. Amen. Be brief. Be to the point. Make the point and sit down. That's just like this one sister told Brother Clifford Wilson. Brother Clifford, you left off one of the 3 points of speaking. He said, what was that? He said, you got to stand up, you got to speak up, and you got to shut up. And he said, well, which one of them? You didn't talk loud enough. I don't know how many times I've been told that too. I'm sorry. I'm working on that, I guess, 40 some years. I'm trying to do better than that. Let us be careful. Stand up, speak up, and then it's 12 o'clock. I know that. I got at a congregation home, they bought a clock this big around. They must be thinking, you don't know when to shut up. But if all of us practiced, you see what we're getting at here? The value of a soul. And it is working together. It's not just all on one, the ministry's part. It's not all together on them. Amen. It's for every one of us to work together and set the stage and the precedent for spiritual worship. I love the singing this morning. It was such a blessing to my soul. It was so good. I love that. I want that to be every time. I want our souls to be fed and nurtured and taken care of. I want the light of the Lord to work among us. I want Him to help us. Things cleared out of the way. Ignorance and deadness. You know, I one time preached, and I was young, and I know I probably didn't make much sense. I know that there was things that maybe I said, but the lights in our chapel was those old lights that you could hear the ballast. It hummed. And when I got done, that was all you heard, was the hum of the ballast. And also, this one older brother yawned. That was it. And I thought, boy, I thought I really prayed. Got to hold the Lord. And that's all I got was a yawn. You know, the spiritual deadness, Lord help us. Amen. It happens. Spiritual deadness, it happens sometimes. We come in and we barely drag in and get in there and sit down, and we expect, Lord, bless me. Lord, bless me. Here I am. I hadn't put anything in. I've come to services dragging myself. I'm telling you, Spirit, I needed that. But it don't have to be a precedent. We don't have to all come in with long faces. Like Brother Ori said, I'm glad all the saints aren't down at the same time. Lord, help us to have something in our souls to be alive, because we're in a generation there's people that come by and they test the waters and they see, do these folks have it or do they not? Do they really care? Do they not? Lord, help us today. And through all this meeting, may the Lord help us and bless our assemblies. And may there be the odor of a sweet smell that ascends to the Lord from being a part of the body of Christ and being a lively stone, not something dead and something that has no life in it, but help us to be lively stones and contribute to the service of the Lord. Thank you for your time.